So, hello again and welcome back to the Essential Mooting Guide, the podcast, as brought to you by the Moot Court Society from the Faculty of Law at Universitas Padjadjaran. This week, we have another two new guests for you, exciting new guests, and I'm already with my first one now. Please give it up for Agung Kurniawan. Agung, why don't you say hi to the listeners?
Hi, audience. Thank you for having me today.
Today, listeners, we're going to be talking all about English and actually how it can sometimes be an obstacle that some people see as entering into our community. And that, you know, a lot of people talk to me about how English is a very intimidating aspect of IMCC, especially to non-native speakers. But more importantly, we're going to be talking about how you can overcome feeling like that and that English is kind of a barrier. So that brings us to our first guest of the day, and that is, like I said before, Mr. Agung Kurniawan, two-time JESA former, and on his second time, he was ranked number 7 in the world with his team, right, Gung?
Yeah, in JESA 2020.
That's it? You're not excited?
Yeah, I'm excited.
But obviously, Agung to me is more special than that, because Agung was, we did our first moot together, right? With Fico, we've had Fico on the show before. 2018 Asia Cup, a great start for both of us. So please, Agung, introduce yourself.
So thank you again for having me today. And as introduced by our host previously, my name is Agung Kurniawan, and I have participated in several moot court competition as a delegate for Faculty of Law, Universitas Padjadjaran. And I am happy today that I will able to share some of my experience with you guys today.
Yeah, that's great. And you also write for the show, actually, right? You write for the podcast. You're on my podcasting team, and you help write a lot of the materials as well as research for the mini episodes.
Yeah.
You enjoy working with me?
Sure. I'm enjoying to write those materials and kind of warming up again.
Obviously, though, we kind of also want to know about your background. Did you grow up with English a lot, or would you say that perhaps maybe it's the opposite?
I would say it would be the opposite, because I came from Medan, graduated from public high school, specifically SMA Negeri 4 Medan, and personally, I never had an extra courses for English besides formal classes in my school, and I also, my family don't really talk in English daily in our house. So actually, the first time I intensively using English and learning English was when I joined IMCC.
So you're really in a good position to talk about this today, right?
Yeah, perhaps.
I think we should get right into it. Why don't we get right into it? So today, obviously, we're going to be talking about, like I said before, English is sometimes a barrier. We're really having this episode because I think we've talked about this before. Some of the people, especially the new students that we try to invite and say, hey, why don't you try international moot courts with us? A lot of them feel like they are not good enough, especially in terms of speaking English, to try and learn more about international law or arbitration or whatever it is we're teaching at the time. Especially when they compare themselves to a separate group that they feel like those kinds of people have really good English and they're so much better than me, and they kind of have this whole inferiority complex. And I have to admit that English has never really been a problem for me, but you know, that's just kind of my life and the way I was raised. But obviously that's why we have you today, and to share a little bit, because I remember there was a time when you struggled with this kind of thing, and our team was very supportive to you to help grow and like that. But we want to ask you about that. Did you ever feel like some of these people that we talk to, do you ever feel like you were having difficulty with English, or you saw it as a kind of obstacle for you before you became, well, obviously the great mooter that you are today? Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, of course. It was once a barrier to me in starting moot court competitions, especially international one, as I was started the IMCC journey from internal IMCC in Faculty of Law in UNPAD, and I would say that I wasn't that good at English at first, But I'm pretty sure that we all have the same concern at first when deciding whether or not to join IMCC, as you say. But we have to remember that we are not expected to be very good at it when we first come to join to the IMCC. And to answer this, I would like to also to stress that everyone has their own level in English, and everyone also have their own obstacles in trying to learn English. So what you experience, it will depend on you. If I may share, once my mentor in internal IMCC also said that when you have already dived into your case, after you have read journals and writing the memorial, we'll get to use all the words that you never recognized before, and will not as scary as the first time you hear those words again. And I think that it will help you to use it as you speak. And that what also happened to me, as I have submitted my memorial and turning into the pleading session, I will get used to those terms that I haven't get familiar with before, and it will be easier for me to speak those words.
So you feel like even though it was a real obstacle, just kind of diving into it and getting familiar with some keywords, that was really a help to you?
Yeah, at first that one important key that I keeping on my mind so that I'm not stopping from learning it, you know.
Do you think that it actually is an obstacle? Or would you say that it has to be, right? I mean, like, do you think that there is a level of not being good enough that you should not try IMCC? Or is it something that's kind of like anyone can do it?
I would say that there is no certain level to decide to enter the IMCC or not. But it will depend on you, because I once have a friend that she is smart. I think she is smart. But eventually when I asked her to join internal IMCC, she decided not to continue because for her it was a barrier and a burden to her. And when it comes a burden to her, it will also become a burden to her team. So she decided to not continuing IMCC. But for me, it is not a fundamental obstacle. In fact, joining IMCC, I think, would even help you to improve your English better by keeping reading those journals and trying to speak with English daily. And I will say that what you think was an obstacle previously will become something that you thankful for deciding to enter IMCC, you know.
That's really good advice, and I can kind of vouch for you. I think that there was a time when I remember Agung was struggling a lot with English, and if I look at that time and then looking at his English now and just how well and fluently he speaks, it's amazing to think that it happened in such, like, it's only 2 years, right? And then you speak, yeah, like professors and like lecturers, I know they look to Agung sometimes when they're looking to proofread certain writings. So it's crazy. It's a lot to happen, and it's all IMCC, right, Agung?
Yeah.
Do you think there's any tangible advice that you can give to people in terms of how they can improve their English?
I think you need to understand yourself again. I mean, you know yourself better. And to overcome that, I would say that you have to prepare everything before you, well, specifically in terms of pleading it. I mean, you have to prepare everything that will help you to plead. Your script, your pointer, your Q&A sheets, and everything. And in terms of writing a memorial, I would say that even me, until now, I'm still using a Google Translate and dictionary application on my laptop when I found words that I'm not familiar with. I also would encourage you to maybe still learning the English if you have some obstacle on it. I mean, you can probably watch YouTube videos, and even if you need to understand grammar, no one would mock you if you learn the basic grammar, so just do it. I would also say that one important thing that would help you in English is the practice session, as it would be the best way to overcome every problem that you have when you're pleading.
So do you mean the practice sessions with like practice pleading, like the pleading sessions or something?
Yeah, else? The pleading session.
So like when you sit down with your team and then you're running through your script, and they're giving you input. That was a big help for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it was really, especially when it comes to the QNS session. As I say before, I always preparing my QNS sheet. I always re-answering my answer on that sheet so I can later on improve it and asking for my teammates' opinion. So we would able to achieve some kind of perfection on the answers, and that every audience will be satisfied with the answers. So that is one key that I would highlight to improve your English quality when you are pleading.
I don't think actually some of our listeners might not know what a Q&A sheet is. Could you please explain what a Q&A sheet is to our, perhaps maybe our juniors who are looking forward to IMCC but haven't had the chance?
Sure. So Q&A sheet is basically list of the questions that you've been asked before. So when you quit, your teammate would write down all the questions that provided before you when you quit. And after you quit, you might want to take time to answer those questions again. And you might want to maybe change it into like a table or any list or whatever kind of sheets it would be as you would like it to be. And for me, the point of QA sheets is that just to re-answer and restructure all the answers so that when you go to pleading again, you will have a better answer and more structured answer. That's pretty much it.
Do you have any advice maybe? So I feel like your advice was very much centered around like once you're on a team and how to improve once you've become a delegate or oralist. Do you have maybe any advice for people who are just trying to prepare perhaps for selection or at least mentally equip themselves with better English before they start trying to join IMCC? Do you have any advice for those people?
Well, I guess the best way to prepare yourself is to start learning and reading journals, English journals, and also watching pleading videos on YouTube, because it really helps, I think, because when you watch those pleadings, you will learn from the experts. I mean, they won several moot court competitions and you are directly learning on how they plead, and it also helps you on understanding how to plead in a good way, and you might also get more vocabularies by watching those videos and by reading journals.
I think that's great advice. Unfortunately, it seems though time is flying very fast tonight while we're recording, and we're almost actually out of time. So could I actually ask you, we always have this tradition, and I think you know, I mean, you write for the show sometimes. Do you have anything you want to say to the audience as your last piece of advice?
Yeah, sure. My message would be, I would strongly suggest you guys to start from internal IMCC first if you are actually scared to dive into the real IMCC, because it helps you to look how the real IMCC is going to be, because me myself started from internal IMCC and I think it really helps me to understand the real IMCC and to prepare myself to become a member of the team. And also my second tips and my second message would be just to be confident. Do not overthink, because I'm sure that we have our own way to overcome our problems. And when you enter the team, a good team, that team will help always support you and help you to get better, including to overcome your English barrier, as it what happened to me before.
That's great, man. We love to hear it. Thank you for being on the show. I think you've given some great advice tonight for any potential mooties. So I'm sure you're busy right now, and we don't want to bother you anymore. I'm sure you actually maybe have to do some writing for the show, right?
Yeah.
So again, thank you, Agung, for being on the show. Thank you for sharing your experiences. And for you listeners, we're going to cut to a break as usual. Just before listening to our second speaker, he's from the other side of Moot Court, both in the sense that he has studied private IMCCs, but also in the sense that he used to do national moot court competitions instead of international moot court competitions. Be sure to stick around to hear about that. But again, Agung, thank you for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me today also.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Bye, man.
Bye.
Bye, Agung. Okay, and we are back once again with the Essential Mooting Guide, the podcast. We're here today with our second guest of the episode now, Mr. Hafiz Botua. Hafiz, how are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you, Travis, and hope you so.
Thank you, Hafiz. Why don't you say hello to all of our listeners as well before we kind of jump into it?
Oh, sure. So, hello, everyone, wherever you are and whenever you are listening this, I hope you're in a good health and you can enjoy our podcast today and hope it's useful for you.
So, Hafiz, I mentioned earlier before we started recording, when I was still with my interview with Agung, that you're a kind of best of both worlds guy, obviously, right? You did international moot court, but before that, you were in national moot court, and now you're kind of in charge of legal affairs in the moot court society. Before we jump into that, we haven't even introduced you. Why don't you tell the people about you and what you do in moot court?
Oh, well, thank you, Travis. So, well, as you mentioned before, my name is Hafiz Botua, and currently I'm having my sixth semester in Faculty of Law, University of Pajajaran, and I'm majoring in Public International Law. And I'm also involved in our moot court society, and I'm in charge as the head of legal activities for this period. And well, I've already joined into moot court competitions. And first of them is National Moot Court Competition in 2013. That law applied in this competition is Indonesian criminal law, and the cases are transnational crime about the drug trafficking and terrorism financing. And the second one is the 17th Fees is Moot, which the main topic is private international law, particularly in sales of goods that we're using CRSG as the applicable law, and international commercial arbitration based on ancestral model law and New York Convention.
Well, I also know that you did very well in both of those, right? During your national moot court, during Chokorda, you got the Best Memoranda Award.
Yes.
As well as during FIST 2020, that was with Kalista, right? We've had Kalista on the show.
Correct.
You guys got the honorable mention for the first time by Universitas Pajajaran at the FIST 2020 virtual moot, right?
Yes, Travis, that's right.
So, obviously, that's a kind of interesting place to talk about, and we could talk a long time about the differences between national and international moot court, but obviously that's not what we're going to do today. Today we're talking about English as an obstacle to entering IMCC, and I think your position gives a little bit of an interesting perspective into this topic. Perhaps maybe you can explain to us a little bit about your background. I asked Agung the same thing. Did you grow up with English, like in high school or before college? How big was it in your life?
Oh, well, whether I'm grew up with English or not, I don't think so. I'm not grow up with English, but I do have several couple years for English course, but I think that's not a serious thing for this.
So before IMCC, you weren't an expert in English, right?
Yeah, that's good. That's correct.
Could you tell us a little bit about the transition then? I guess Indonesian is your first language, is that correct?
That's correct, Travis.
So perhaps you can compare. What was it like mooting first in your native language, in Bahasa Indonesia, with the National Moot Court, and then after that, trying something new, joining the study group with FIS, learning about international sales of good, and contracts in English, and arbitration law in English. Could you maybe give a little bit of a comparison between the two? And was it difficult for you?
Oh, well, for shifting from national moot court to international moot court, well, I can say that's not an easy thing, as you will going to be in touch with the English literature. But I think my background in public international law helped me so much, as we have many assignments with having international judgment from the International Criminal Court and International Court of Justice, I think it helped me so much before I'm joining the FISMUT in this year.
But did you ever feel like insecure maybe during, I don't know, the study group process, or maybe even during your entire delegation? Was there ever a point where you felt, oh, I'm just not good enough, or my legal English isn't progressing the way I want it to? Did you ever have those kind of feelings?
Of course, Travis. Well, the first thing is I'm not that familiar with the legal English, even I'm already familiar with the ICJ judgments, because I'm joining FIS and I'm going to join the private international law world like that. And then that's, of course, two different things to compare. And then I feel like you have to be good in your legal analysis and you have also be good in your legal English. But I think that's not a big issue if you're not that good in one of it, as you're going to work in a team and every person in the team will have a different problems. And then that's why you have a team. The team is how to help you for your problem and enhance everything better.
So your team was very supportive, right?
Well, I'm glad to have it.
So you are acknowledging that it was an obstacle and it was something that kind of slowed you down in a sense, would you say? Or perhaps was at least difficult for you to try and overcome?
I could not say that it slowed me down, but it takes more effort to learn for the first time, like that, Travis.
I like the way you phrased that. Well, you know, it's just that some of the people we talk to when we're discussing moot court, promoting IMCC, a lot of them say that English is intimidating to them and that they don't want to join because English is just difficult. Did you ever feel this way? Did you ever feel like that moment of doubt, perhaps, that your English isn't good enough?
Oh, well, I think that's mostly correct, as you will feel like English is a difficult language and isn't not what sounds it is.
Do you think these people should let themselves be concerned with it?
I think that's not necessarily to consider, as it's going to waste your time for it, for being insecure and thinking too much for that. So I think you just need to start to learn and join any kind of the national moot court, Travis.
Do you have any advice for these people to kind of overcome? Agung explained a lot about pleading. Perhaps you can speak from a legal writing standpoint. Any tips for any law students who are just trying to start learning to write legal documents, legal memoranda in English? Do you have any advice for them to kind of get better at it?
Oh, sure. So in the writing in the memoranda, you will using a kind of legal English, which it's slightly a formal version of the regular English. So the first thing you have to do is you have to be more familiar with it. And where do we have to start? You can just start from reading the any judicial decisions, either from court judgment in English-speaking countries, or you can find it in the judgment or any arbitral award from international tribunal. And as long as you can get familiar with all of these terms and all of the language style, I think it will help you so much for enhancing your capability in English to join the international moot court. And then the second thing you have to learn is about your legal analysis itself, as you need to write something in English, and then you need to be able at some point to compare some cases or how to read something, how to understand the important part of the case and note-taking, outlining and speech reading on a certain case.
Did you ever have any strategies for perhaps when you found a piece of reading that you didn't understand? How would you overcome something like that?
Oh, well, the most important thing is you need to find a partner to accompany yourself to learn about the English, at least a partner that going to listen on you on the way you make a grammatical order, or a friend that will help your legal analysis towards a certain issue in the meeting.
That's very interesting. What kind of a partner, though, would you recommend a person look for? Should it be someone who's also learning, or do you think it might be better to look for someone who is already more adept, let's say, in studying legal English?
Well, I highly recommend you to find a partner which has a higher capability than yourself, a better English proficiency, and the one who have ever been the same experience in the moot court like that, because it's necessary to find someone who better than you and can teach you anything new for the things that you learn right now.
Did you have someone like that during your team in FIS this year?
Oh, fortunately, yes, I get one. That's Ravi Adrian from the international coordinator that helped me so much in enhancing my capability.
I think that was a big theme with Agung's interview as well, that you have a team that supports you. Do you think you had a team like that? A team that was very helpful to facilitate your learning?
Yes, I did. That my previous team in the FISMUT, it's helped me so much, and we can just help each other during our sessions. And that I'm glad for having that.
Can I try and summarize your advice so far? So you mentioned that you need to practice reading legal documents, legal judgments, but at the same time, you should have a partner slash mentor, really, to kind of help you, guide you through the parts that you don't understand so you can learn even more. Is that correct?
That's correct, Rafis.
You're giving us a lot of great advice, really. But do you have any advice for maybe the people who aren't in a moot court yet or aren't studying public international law but still want to get better at English?
Oh, sure. Now, there are several things I want to tell you. That the first is stop being insecure, and you have to start from learn. You have to start to learn either for your English capability, for your legal English particularly, and then your legal analysis, and just start to learn. And then you can just apply this thing for your daily basis, as you can just learn everything from YouTube. You can watch a movie without any kind of subtitle, or at least you have an English subtitle so you can listen it clearly and understand the subtitle well. Or you can just start writing in English. And then you don't need to insecure, as you join the team. By this far, some teams may apply the English speaking policy, so the delegates could speak in English for daily conversational basis, so I think it will help you much.
I think I can add a little bit on that as a chief coordinator at the IMCC from the Moot Court Society. We really do want just the best for all of you, no matter what your level of English is. So take it from me, take it from Hafiz, take it from Agung, that we really just want what's best for our students, right? And we accept anyone. It doesn't matter if you can speak English really poorly or if you've been speaking English since you were 3 years old. We will take all of you and we will treat all of you equally. And I'm sure from legal, you guys are prepared to do the same, right?
Sure, all of us have to do the same thing.
I think it's a little bit interesting. Can I ask you a little bit outside of the topic?
Sure, sure.
Once again, you are a man of both worlds, because you did FIS, which is a very private law-oriented moot court, but you also sub-major in public international law on top of just the general law that we all have to learn in the Faculty of Law. Could you maybe compare? Well, I guess you can compare in general, but you can also maybe compare in the difference between legal language or legal English between public international law and private international law.
Oh, sure. So, Travis, so I'm already familiar with the public law international tribunal judgments like the ICJ, ITLOS, or PCA. And during the phase, I learned about the International Arbitral Award and another court judgment in the private international law. And the things that I can compare is the private international law has a slightly more difficult legal English, as they have a more metaphor, more beautiful choice of words, and they mostly use it in the judgment and feels like a more private from judge to the client or judge to the lawyers, and it feels like more private and slightly sounds more difficult than the public one.
That's an interesting point of view. I personally, I find it easier to read private judgments, but that might just be me. Maybe that just means that it's a kind of different for everyone. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yes, I agree with that. However, that's a kind of personal preferences. And I think There's no issue for that.
So, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for our interview today. Do you have any last remarks, last words, or closing statements you want to give to our listeners, Hafiz?
Oh, sure, Travis. Thank you for that. So, I just want to tell you, for everyone who wants to join in the National Moot Court Competition, I want to tell you, stop being insecure and just start learning right now, either for your legal analysis or your legal English. Well, I think that's all, Travis.
That's great. It's really been very helpful, and I'm very glad that you were willing to record with us this week. Thank you, Hafiz. I'm sure you have a lot of work to get back to. I hear you, public international law students are very busy during these almost final weeks, so I'm going to leave you to it. Thank you for being on the show, though, and so I guess I'll talk to you later, yeah?
Oh yes, thank you so much, Travis, for inviting me, and have a nice day for you and everyone.
Yes, bye-bye.
Bye, Travis.
And that concludes our discussion today with Agung and Hafiz. We heard a lot of tips from both of them as to how you can overcome the English language as an obstacle, since nowadays you can watch movies and learn from the internet to improve your English in general. As for moot courts and other legal activities, you can also improve your legal English in both speech and writing simply by doing a lot of research, reading, and practice with supportive people around you. The most important part is to have confidence in yourself, not to be good, but to be able to dive into it headfirst and learn. Here at the Moot Court Society, we are more than prepared to provide you with that kind of support system, and while it may be hard to believe, really, anyone can do it as long as they work hard and passionately and remain dedicated to the learning process. Stick around till next week, where our upcoming mini-episode will be introducing you to a very popular topic in private international law. Arbitration, as explained to you by this year's FIS East 2020 UNPAD team captain, Jovanka Linkanaya. Be sure to follow us on whatever platform you're listening on so you can know when we publish new episodes, as we do so weekly. And until then, see you guys, and may it please the court.